Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. You know, the last number of weeks we've been talking about tuning in to the voice of God. And I am convinced more than ever that God wants to speak to his people. You know, just as a good parent would want to speak to their children. And I was actually thinking about this as Lillian had did the announcements at the early service as well. I'm thinking, first of all, out of the mouth of babes. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to have no age barriers even in who does the announcements? But as she was just talking, you know, she's talking the way she talks because of her parents that talk to her. And in a sense, when we're very, very young, our greatest influence is our parents, you know, our mothers, our fathers. But I think of a story that happened to me in my life with my mother. I shared this a couple of years ago, but I was just 4 or 5 years old. And my reason for sharing this is this, that often when we're young, God's voice is heard through the guardians around us. In other words, God chooses to use vessels of people around us to speak to us at times, especially when we're very young. And so I remember this one time, and I don't have a photographic memory, but I can picture the moment as it happened yesterday. And it was 45, 6, 7 years ago, a long time ago. And we were at the kitchen table. My little brother was there, and I was there. My mom was there. My dad was away that day. And what my mother would often do, you know, I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy, you know, peanut butter and jelly. That was kind of my life. But she would always have these, I called them exotic foods. She would always bring something home from the grocery store that was a little bit different. And this one particular day, she had this clear jar that was there on the table by her plate. And she opened it, and, you know, it smelled weird. It even looked weirder. My brother and I look at each other, and we were sure that it was alien eyes. Now, here's why. It was green and had this red stuff in the middle of it. And it looked like an alien eye to us. We thought, you know, that our mother was a cannibal and she was eating alien eyes. And in fact, we even called them that. And so my mom would torment us a little bit. She'd put one on a fork, stab it, and, you know, and she'd stick it in our faces and say, "Yeah." And then one day, though, this is the day that I remember. She sticks her fork into it, holds it out, and we all do the ooh thing, just like most kids do. How many people have done the ooh thing to somebody at some time? Yeah. And so we do that, and my mom said something, and for her it wouldn't have been profound, but I remember it to this day. And she said this, she said, "How will you ever know whether you like it or not? It could be your next best food that you like. If you never try things in life, you'll never be able to grow." And so for her, she just made the statement, you know, and I did try it. By the way, I did eat my first alien eye, and it was a little different. It's an acquired taste, my mother told me later. And so I eat stuffed olives now, and I love them, and I try different foods. But here's the thing. It wasn't about food. It wasn't about that at all. God used my mother to help me come to a place that when I maybe haven't experienced something, that doesn't mean it's not real, that there might be something that I haven't experienced yet. And that was a seed that she planted by the Holy Spirit. In a sense, she was the voice of God to my life at that moment. And I believe that all of us at different times in our lives have had those voices. It could have been a school teacher. Could even have been a friend at school where God kind of hijacked them, if you get what I'm saying, for a specific moment in time to just shake you or rattle you or reveal an amazing truth to you. And we have to sort out what's God and what's not. But I could tell you something, that moment was a God moment for me. And we all have those God moments where God speaks to us and we don't even know it. In my case, it was in the form of my mother. For some of you, it's in the form of someone else. And I believe that at times we diminish those things. Where, oh, that wasn't really God. How can you say that? If they love Jesus and Jesus is in their hearts, can't God use them to be a voice to talk to you? And so you and I need to be open to the voice of God, however he wants to be that voice. And so that doesn't mean when somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, I think God's saying this," does that necessarily mean it's the voice of God? Not necessarily, and we're going to talk about testing the spirits and follow that a little bit. But the point is, we need to be open to however God wants to speak to us. So over the last couple of weeks, I gave you a promise. I said that if you follow these 4 steps, I guarantee you will hear from God. How many people remember what the first step is? Let's help those that weren't here. What was the first step? Make an appointment. Thank you. In other words, you got to set time aside. You just have to set time aside. If God is that important to you, You set time aside to go to a doctor. You set time aside to see your best friend. You set time aside to go to your job. You know, isn't God more important than all of those? Yes, you need to set time aside. All right, so we've done that. So what's the next step? Be still and worship. And we talked about this a little bit last week, and that being still is really, really, really difficult. But it's also really important, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But to worship. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean with music. Do you know that you can worship and still not put God at the forefront of your life? Because that's really the purpose of worship, is to put God at the forefront. So you could sing the words, you could tap your foot to the beat, all of that, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're putting God at the forefront. So worship could mean with music, but it basically means that you're adoring Him, you're putting God in His rightful place in your life. You're putting Him on the throne of your heart, is really what worship is. So being still and putting Him at the forefront. Okay, so what's step three? Read and pray, right? Pray first, then read. Now, why do we do that? The reason is, you always go to God, you got a burden on your heart. There's always something going on. How many people have something going on right now in your life? You know, all of us have stuff going on. All of us, all right? One level or another. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small, but we got stuff going on. So here's the thing. If you go to try to read God's word with that burden on your heart, aren't you distracted? I know I am. So you got to do what? You got to unload that burden. So that's what the prayer part is. You unload that to the Lord. It doesn't mean you spend a lot of time with it. You say, Lord, you know, this thing's bothering me. You know, this relationship issue or this financial issue or the health issue, whatever it is. Say, Lord, this is what's going on right now. And what are you doing? You're opening your heart up in prayer. You just say, Lord, here's what I've got. And in a sense, you're just laying it on the altar. You're not spending a lot of time with it. You're not even looking for an answer at this point. You're just lifting the burden off you. Why? Scripture says this in 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. So what are you doing? You're taking your care and you're giving it to Him so He can care for it. So now you're unburdened. So now what you can do then is go and read the Word and begin to focus on the Word. And why are you doing that? For step four, what's the purpose of reading the Word? So you can listen and write. So the idea is that you're not just reading the word to say, oh, okay, I put my chapter in today. That's my little brownie point. Thank you, Jesus. Do I get a little star for that? Can you put that up in heaven there somewhere? No, that's not the reason at all, right? You're reading to receive something from the Lord. And again, you may read a chapter or maybe just a couple of verses. But here's the thing. God's not going to give you all of that. But it's out of the word that He gives you a word. Amen? And so that word could be one word. I was earlier, the first service, I said you could be reading along and the word hope shows up somewhere in there. And you just can't get hope out of your mind. You read a bunch more verses and you're still going back to the word hope. Well, what word should you write down? What do you think? Anybody got any ideas? Well, hopefully you're going to write down the word hope. And then you're going to meditate. You're going to ruminate on it a little bit. You're going to say, Lord, man, why am I thinking about it? Man, Lord, I thank You that I have hope for the future. Lord, even though things are tough right now, that there's hope. There's a certainty of my security in heaven with You. You get what I mean? You take that word that God's given you and you ruminate and you talk to Him about it. You're not just writing it down. Okay, God gave me the word hope. Oh, okay, done. That's not what you're doing. You're taking that word and you're thinking about it. Why? Because He's speaking to you. Now imagine if your best friend was speaking to you and talking to you about something really important. Would you say, okay. Would you do that? No, you want to hear what your friend's got to say. You want to understand why they're saying it. It's the same with God. You want to ruminate on it and think about it and write that down. So you might write hope down and then you might write, well, what's God saying out of this? You know, how about this? My future's secure. That's what God might say to me. But He might say something different to you. It might be about a certain situation that though it seems like there's no hope for that mortgage that I'm applying for, the Lord, I have hope that I'm trusting You for. You get what I'm saying? In other words, whatever that personal word is for you, then you complete it that way. So those four steps, I promise you, you will hear from God. But it begins with setting time aside. Last week, I gave the challenge. I called it the one-hour challenge. And the idea was, are you willing and able to set aside the electronics of life, all the distractions of life, for just 1 hour? Jesus asked His disciples, can't you tarry with Me for just 1 hour? And so here's the thing. You might say, well, look, I can't do an hour. All right. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But here's the thing. If you're doing nothing now, how about can you tarry with Me for 10 minutes? Can you pull that one off? Can you shut your phone off for 10? In other words, something is better than nothing. Don't think, oh man, I can't do the hour, so there's no point in me doing it. Stop thinking that way. Try for a half hour. Can't do a half hour, do 15 minutes. In other words, something is better than nothing. But here's the thing. You need a certain amount of time to be settled. It takes time to kind of put out all the worries of your mind and all the things going on. And so it just takes some time to do that. And so it's hard if you take just a short bit of time. Now, here's the thing. As you practice, there are times, now I don't do this all the time, but there are times where I can drop into spirit just like that. In other words, a circumstance comes, man, and I can just boom, and I'm right there with Jesus. Now, there's other times where hours later, I'm like, Lord, this isn't working. You get what I'm saying? It goes both ways, but it does get easier as you practice the presence. And it's really important for us as believers to practice the presence. So why do we need to hear the voice of God? What is the big stinking deal, right? We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We know we're going to heaven. Why is it so important to hear the voice of God here and now? Let me tell you something. Go to Psalms 107, verse 20. And here's what it says. That he sent forth his word, and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So this is the word of the Lord. This is God speaking this through David the psalmist. And he says this, that God sent his word. Now the thing is, some people would latch on to this and say, well, yes, we have the word. God sent his word, and that's all we need. We have the written, recorded word, and that's all we need as believers. No, it isn't. We need far more than just his recorded word. Because it's out of his recorded word that God speaks to us. And in fact, if the people who say that would research this, this word for word here actually means spoken word. It doesn't mean the written or recorded word. It actually means the spoken word. And so God sent his what? Spoken word. In other words, his revealed word to us. Not just what's been written here, but what he's revealed to us through it and by his Holy Spirit. To do what? To heal us. That word healing is Rapha. It's where we get the term Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And that word healing, that means physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. In other words, anything that you need healed of, he sent his word to do so. In fact, even today, as I was praying for people, and I heard other people praying as well, God gave me specific words for certain individuals. Why? Because God sent forth a specific word to do what? To heal them, to bring restoration, to bring hope, to bring help to them. Why? To deliver us. That word delivers actually means to rescue us. The idea is that God speaks to us because maybe we're going in the wrong direction or we need help or we need aid in some way so that we don't fall into destruction. That word means to fall into a pit. Sandra had a prophetic word this morning which she had wrote down during prayer time, and it talked, and I didn't tell her what I was going to be speaking about, and it literally talked about being rescued from the pit. It was a word from the Lord. And here's the thing, God wants to speak to us in a way that we can understand and comprehend so that we can be rescued from the pitfalls of life. How many people have been in a pit? How many people are still in a pit? You know, there are times where we're in pits, right? We're in the pity parties of pits, right? We're in the pits of, you know, financial issues. You know, the list goes on and on of the different kind of pits that we're in. Here's the thing, if you knew someone could intervene and save you from falling into the pit, wouldn't you seek that intervention? God wants to intervene in your life and in mine. Now, here's the problem. There's a lot of voices. There are so many voices, more voices now than there's ever been. And so I've got a list of four voices. There are other voices, but I want you to see these four voices right here. And so we have the voices of the world, you know, and we have the voices of other people. We have the voices of the enemy, and we have the voice of God. Now, here's the thing. As you look at these, the first two aren't necessarily bad or evil. You know what I'm saying? It's just what happens is the voices of the world and the voice of other people can be such a distraction. You know, it's people's opinions. It's data. It's information. And it can cloud and just muck up kind of what you're trying to hear and perceive from God. And obviously the voice of the enemy, it's bad. It's always bad, all right? So you don't ever think the devil's good, all right? He's bad. So he's always speaking bad things into your life. And then you have the voice of God. Now, wouldn't it be nice if we could just put kind of an X through the top three and just have the voice of God? But here's the reality of it. It just doesn't work that way. There's some effort involved for you and I to discern the difference between all of these voices. So here's what I did. I was praying through the week asking God, you know, how can I share this in a way that people can understand what goes on in my head and what goes on in most of our heads. So in a moment, you're going to hear an audio clip that we did. It's under 2 minutes long, and here's what it is. I'll tell you right now. All four of those voices, all four of them, are there. They're all there. And what's going to happen is, after about 15, 20 seconds, I remove one voice at a time till there's finally one voice left at the end. So have a listen. I'm sure some of you can really relate, because as I listened to it, as I made this, I said, that's in my head most of the time. In other words, you're going to get a taste of what goes on in my head, and some of you hopefully can relate, and I'm not the only crazy one. All right, run the audio.
My experience is showing me that it didn't work for me, so I don't think it's going to work for you. And my other friends say the same thing, so I don't think you should do that. But here's what we do think you should do.
There's not a whole lot of hope for the future. Why don't you just go back to the way you were? It was more fun. Go back and enjoy the things that you at least enjoyed a little bit, instead of trying to enjoy things that you'll never be able to get to.
But it's so hard.
There's no hope for this. You need to move and go back to where you were before.
I love you so much. I have so many plans for your life. So many plans to give you a hope and a future. I've been speaking to you, but it's so hard to hear me because I'm that still small voice. And there are so many other voices that try to drown out my voice. But know this, my child, I am here and I am speaking. And as you push those voices aside, as you focus upon me, you will hear my voice in the multitude of the other voices. Seek my face and know that I am here for you. Call out to me and I will answer you, for I am the one who gave my life for you.
Can you put those four back up again, the four voices? You know, I didn't use a script for that word from the Lord, and I believe it is a word for the body here today, amen? But here's the thing, that track was going on behind the whole time. In other words, it was there, but you couldn't hear it, could you? You had all the other things. In fact, the voice of the world was a CNN headlines thing, you know, going along, you know, and the voice of other people was just, people having a conversation. The voice of the enemy was just Satan pounding away all the time. He's that drone that just keeps pushing all the time in your life. And you have to make a decision how to deal with all these voices. Now, let's talk about the first two, voices of the world and the voices of other people. Here's the thing. You have control over that. You can decide how much electronic distraction that comes into your life on a daily basis. You can choose that. In other words, you can dial those things back, the same as other people. You know, the information that they tell you and the conversations you have and the opinions that they give you. You can dial that back. In other words, you have a choice with those first two voices. And you need to make a decision. If they're not for God, what does the word say? If you're not for God, you were what? Against them. In other words, if these voices aren't lifting you up and encouraging you and are not of the Spirit of Jesus, if they're not doing that, you need to diminish those as much as possible. You know, I shared at the first service, I was reading an account of Smith Wigglesworth. How many people have heard of him? He was an evangelist back at turn of the century. He lived into the 1940s, early 50s. He lived in England. And I read this account of a man by the name of Lester Summerall. How many people have heard of him? Great guy, you know, preacher of the word. And he went to visit him when Smith Wigglesworth was about 80 years old. So he goes to his house. This was in England. So he goes, had to take a train to get to his house. So he's there and he knocks on the door, and Wigglesworth opens the door and looks him up and down and says, "What is that?" And Lester Summerall's like, you know, what do you mean? You know, he had his Bible with him, and he had a newspaper under his arm. And he pointed to the newspaper and said, "That is not allowed in my house. Get rid of it." And so Lester, you know, got freaked out, threw it down, and then came in. And, you know, as they became friends, you know, over weeks and years and months, he asked him one day, he says, "You know, why did you have me do that?" He says, "I don't want lies inside my house." And it's not that newspapers are all full of lies, but it's another voice. You hear what I'm saying? Just another voice. And Wigglesworth, who, by the way, is credited with probably more miracles than anyone in modern times, he wanted to hear one voice, and that was the voice of Jesus. And so he felt that that was a distraction, so he put it out. What are you worth willing to sacrifice to hear the voice of God? You hear what I'm saying? What are you willing to sacrifice? Because here's the thing. If you want to stay the same and hear more of Jesus, probably not going to happen. Because you're going to just be hearing all these voices. And so you've got to decide, how do I turn some of these voices off? How do I diminish some of these voices so that I can hear the voice of God that's always speaking? He's always there wanting to say something, but I just can't hear him because of everything else going on. All right, now let's talk about the voice of the enemy. Now here's what I've learned about Satan over the years. He's very lazy. And what I mean by that is, if he sees a reaction in you when he's speaking to you, he'll just keep bothering you because he's getting results. But if you choose to ignore him, after a while, he'll leave you alone. Now, there are times where you need to confront the enemy. Now, I'm not suggesting you do this on a regular basis. In fact, I suggest you do it about once a year. That works pretty well for me anyways. He's speaking to me, the drone's happening, and I say, Satan, you know, some of the things you're saying is right. I acknowledge that some of the things you're saying is right. But I'm under the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. The Spirit of God lives in me now. And the one that is in me is greater than you, Satan. And so right now, in Jesus' name, go. I don't raise my voice. I don't yell and scream. I don't need to. Because I speak in the authority of the name of Jesus. And the voice goes away, just like that. So again, you need to figure out which one is better. Now here's the thing. Sometimes after you rebuke him, he still keeps trying to talk. Then you just ignore him. You pretend like he's not there. Believe me, he'll go bother somebody else that he can get a rouse out of. You know what I'm saying? And get a reaction from. And the devil can't read your mind. And you might wonder, well, how come he knows so much? Here's the thing. He's an observer. He watches what you watch. He hears what you say. You see what I'm saying? He sees your actions when you think nobody else sees. And he uses that as a tool against you over and over again. And so here's the thing. If you're doing things you ought not to be doing right now, I have one word for you. Repent. So that way he doesn't have ammunition to use against you anymore. So you can say, that was me before. That's not me now. Amen. That's a great way to defeat the enemy. To say the blood of Jesus has changed me, is changing me, and I'm leaving that behind. So these voices are a big deal because they influence you. They cloud your ability to hear. Now, I want to talk about another voice that's actually a louder voice than all of those voices. In fact, you've had this voice with you your entire life. You know whose voice that is? Yours. No, not your wife's. Brian just pointed to his wife and said, yeah. No, your entire life, all right? That voice is your will and intellect. The one that speaks to you all the time. I was sitting with my daughter Rachel the other day, and she said something like a little bit off, like a little bit weird. And then she says to me, she says, did I say that on the outside? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, oops. And so at that point, that's the voice I'm talking about. It's that voice on the inside that's running all the time, where you're thinking about things, you're talking to yourself back and forth on the inside. That's a voice that you and I have all the time. It's the sum total of our experiences of life, in a sense. It's who we are. And so that's the loudest voice on the inside. And can I tell you that that voice, the voice of who you are, can sometimes be at odds or contradict the voice of God. Now, let me show you an example from Scripture so that you can see kind of the context of what I'm talking about and how God wants to supersede even our own voice at times, all right? So if you have your Bibles, if you go to Matthew chapter 1, it's a familiar account of Scripture, but from just a little different perspective. Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So here we have Joseph, you know, he's betrothed to Mary, and Mary comes with this crazy, unhooked story. You get what I'm saying? Hey, I'm pregnant. Now, what's Joe thinking at this time? First of all, had anything like this ever happened? She tells this story. Yeah, God came to me, and yeah, I'm pregnant by God, and I'm going to have the Son of God. Now, put yourself in that spot. How are you going to respond? He'd be like, yeah. Be like, no, I'm not so sure about this. So what does Joe do? It says this. Now, this is important. Look at the words that it uses. In verse 19, he says, was minded to put her away secretly. What is that? Minded. What's that mean? It means that based upon his experience, his observations, what he heard her say and what he thinks she did, he's like, man, I'm going to divorce this girl. I don't want no part of this. And so what does God do? He intervenes, doesn't he? Joseph goes to sleep. An angel sent by God. So the voice of God, okay, it's through an angel. Says, look, this is okay. It really is true. She is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Marry her, follow through. And so he does. This is a classic example of how God wants to supersede our voice at times in our lives. See, we only hear and perceive and see at a certain level. And most of the time, we could be right. In fact, the danger of not hearing God's voice is for many people like you guys, who actually are pretty sharp. You get what I'm saying? In other words, you've come to some good conclusions and had some good results with your decisions. And so sometimes it's really hard to defer to the voice of the Holy Spirit if you've had a measure of success in yourself. But here's the thing, God always knows better. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything in the middle. He knows the future. And so for you and I, we've got to allow his voice to supersede ours. But here's what we do sometimes. We do like little kids do. They put their hands over their head and sing, I don't hear you, I don't hear you. And sometimes, here's why. We don't want to hear what God says. You know why? Because sometimes we know what he's going to say and we want to do what we want to do. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands with that. But I'll put my hand up and then say it's happened in my life. And what we have to do as believers, if we really want to hear the voice of God, is be willing to defer to him. And that's not easy. Let me share a scripture just in closing in Romans 8, verse 16 to 17. It says this, that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And of children then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is a really interesting scripture. First of all, says this, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. What does that mean? Well, it means that there's a connection, an intimate connection between the Spirit of the living God and our spirit, our will, our intellect. There's a connection that happens. Now, as I was meditating on this scripture, a concept came to me. How many people know what a crystal radio is? How many people have owned a crystal radio or made one? Got a few. Wow, I have more people in the first service put their hand up. All right, let me have the hands. How many people? Okay. We had a few people. Anyway, when I was about 10 or 11, I was kind of a geeky science kind of guy. So my mom bought me this crystal radio set kit, and you had to solder it all together and put it together. The unique thing about a crystal radio is that there's no batteries in it to make it work. It's really pretty cool. And so I put this thing together, and for it to work, you have to have this super long antenna. So it has to be at least 30 feet long. So I put this wire outside and connected a little wire into the house and hooked it up to this little box that had all the parts in it. And there's not much in this box. There's a couple coils, but the most important thing is a germanium diode, it's called. And it can't be the cheap China knockoffs. They don't work very well. You got to get the 20 millimeter long one, not the 10 millimeter. Just so if you put one together, right, it's really important. Get the long one because it's the one that's most sensitive. And then you have the little ear thing because it doesn't get loud enough for you to have a speaker. You have a little earplug. And so you adjust the coils, and it only works for AM radio stations, and you almost have to hear the station with your ear outside before to work in the crystal radio, right? In other words, it's got to be a really strong station. And so AM, and so you dial it in, and all of a sudden, as you're, you hear it. And it's the most, it's like a miracle. You got no batteries, no, and yet here you are hearing this radio station. Well, how does this work? Well, think about this. Radios, a radio transmitter produces power to make that radio wave. And so it's a wave like this. And it comes, it hits the antenna outside. And then it comes in and goes onto these coils, there's a couple of coils, and there it's magnified a little bit more through the coils, and also it's brought into focus because you have to be on the right frequency to be able to relate to it. And then you have this germanium diode. Now that, this is the cool part. It vibrates to the sound of the radio waves. And so when you have all these things lined up, what happens is it vibrates the same as what it's hearing, in a sense, through the waves on the wire, and you can hear it. This is exactly what this scripture's saying, that the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. There's a resonating that happens. There's a connection that happens. It might not even always be, quote, a voice, but there's a connection where you just know it's the Spirit of God speaking to you. So why is this so important? Well, as you have that resonating happening, as you have that connection with God, here's what happens. We know then that we're children of God. The first thing that God wants to assure you of is that you're his kid. You know, just as Lillian was giving those announcements and thanking moms, you know, I'm sure if I was sitting back where Sandra was, she didn't have a dry eye. You know what I'm saying? Because, oh, you know, that's... Why? Because here's a little girl thanking moms. And that's literally what God wants to show us, that there's a connection between us and heaven, that he's thankful for us and we're to be thankful to him as well. Now, here's the thing. This is if there's a clause in this. How many people don't like clauses? You know what I mean by that? Like a condition. You know, you read a contract and it all sounds good, and then there's like an if or. You know what I'm talking about. There's always like a clause. Well, there's a clause here. It says, if children, then heirs. So that means you get the inheritance. In other words, God wants to speak to you to reveal his inheritance to you. Now, how many people know that the streets of heaven are paved with gold? You know that, right? How many people know that in heaven there's no taxes? How many people know that in heaven that every good thing is there? That there's no tears, all those things, right? Do you need assurance about that? No, we need assurance for our inheritance here, now. Here's the thing. God has things for us here and now. An inheritance, the same inheritance that Jesus had as he walked on this earth, is available for you and I. It says that we're co-heirs with Christ. It means that whatever he has, we have. That's what the word says. And not just there in the by and by, but here in the here and now. And so here's the condition, though. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Okay. So in closing, I want to talk about the suffering part. For some groups of Christians, they think, well, that's doing without. You know, that's not having certain luxuries. And that's not what this is talking about at all. What this is talking about, to suffer with Christ, means to deny yourself, to deny your will, your intellect, what you think is best, to do what God wants you to do. Classic example, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying there, and he's in such anguish of prayer, great drought, the sweat is turned to blood, because the little corpuscles are all breaking and turning to blood. That's amazing. And here's what he's saying. He said, if this cup can pass from me, in other words, he's saying, look, I'd really rather not get nailed to a cross. If I could avoid that, that would be really nice. But he says, but not my will, but your will be done. So what was Jesus doing? He was suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was deferring what he wanted to do, what he thought was right, what felt good to him, to do what God wanted him to do. That's true suffering. That's what Scripture means when it talks about suffering. It means to sympathize with or to connect to or relate to the heart of God. That's what suffering is. And so if you and I are willing to suffer for Jesus, what's the benefit of it? Glorified together, lifted up into high places with him. See, that's the result of being able to hear from God's voice. But here's the thing. To hear from God's voice, there's suffering involved. In other words, you may like to listen to the news all the time. Well, are you willing to suffer for Jesus and maybe limit it to a half an hour a day? You see what I'm saying? You may have to limit yourself in other areas with your phones and with your electronic devices, whatever the distractions are in life. Are you willing to suffer for Jesus so you can hear from him that you can be lifted up and exalted with him? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can answer that. But here's what I do know. There's a God that's speaking right now that loves you so very much and wants to impart truths and revelations and guidance and help into every single part of your life if you're willing to let him. That, I can promise you, are you willing to suffer with him? Let's stand and pray together. Father, I am so grateful that you haven't given up on any of us. And Lord, if anyone you'd want to give up on is me. So many times I've just done my own thing. And when I've turned back, you're like, here I am, I'm still here. And I'm like, Jesus, thank you so much. Father, I am so grateful that you don't give up on any one of us. We could have done our own thing a million times. You'll be there the millionth and oneth time to still speak into our lives and guide us.